Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. In life, it seems the older I get, the faster time seems to go, and it's not uncommon to realize that something that seems like it happened yesterday happened decades ago. Sometimes it's a movie I'm thinking about, and other times it might be a song. And for me, some of those big songs I remember happened decades ago. If, when I was a small child, I would have gone that far back in time remembering a movie or song, that would have taken me to the 1940s or 30s. One of the songs that became big earlier in my teaching career even came with a linguistic controversy, with those knowledgeable about language claiming the lyrics had nothing to do with the title. Interesting for me, while I remembered some of the lyrics to the song, I had to look up the title to the song. The words resonated then and still hold meaning today. In the song, we are introduced to many twists in life, including an elderly man who finally wins the lotto, only to die the next day. The person who, when ready to enjoy a glass of wine, sees a fly floating in the wine, and the person who gets something for free only after they paid for it. We would look at those things and chalk them up to bad luck, randomness in life, or time and chance, and they happen to us in life. Several months back, I had the check engine light come on in my car, and when I took it to the dealership, they were able to determine that the repair was covered by the factory, but they needed to order the part because they didn't have it in stock. It took several months for the repair to happen because the dealership didn't have the updated part number. Once they were able to figure out they needed to order by the updated part number, the part arrived in a few days and the repair happened soon after. I even had a situation where the check engine light came on, and then when I took it in to get diagnosed, the check engine light turned off by itself without an error code being retained by the system, and the car runs fine. It makes no difference what happens in life. Life comes with randomness, with death and taxes as the only certainties. We can do things to minimize the randomness of life, but we cannot escape the randomness of life. Appliances break down on their schedules and not ours. And when it seems like we are finished with what needs to be done around the house, all it takes is a rain or windstorm to have us double down on the windows and yard. There is nothing like waking up ready to make coffee, only to see a conga line of ants dancing from an electrical outlet to some place of interest inside your house, or turning on the lights to a room, only to see the cockroaches scatter because you weren't invited to their party. Stepping on a wet rug next to the water heater can dampen anyone's mood and change the priorities for the day. A long time back, my son and I were driving one of his friends home, and when we got back, we were greeted by a very happy dog who was cannonballing off my bed into the pooling water that came from a broken water supply line. Things happen in life. And to be fair, both good and bad things happen in life. We have all had those unexpected financial expenses, but we have also had those unexpected financial windfalls. Maybe not to the same degree, but we have had them. Life is more challenging when the randomness of life impacts people in our life. As a retired teacher, I share with others that one of the hardest things about being a teacher is going to the funeral of a student. Parents expect to die before their children, and teachers expect their students to outlive them. The randomness of life can change that. I've worked with people younger than me who died, leaving a huge hole in the family. Sometimes there is an expectation that death may come soon, and even then, death can be hard. But when death arrives with a randomness to it, death can seem to hit harder. With the randomness of life comes a spiritual direction we must travel. The randomness of life will buffet us from the left and right, but we must continue our spiritual progress. We might get tossed about a bit like turbulence on a plane, but spiritually our course must remain unchanged. The waves of the ocean might make it hard to remain steady on one's feet aboard the ship, but the ship continues its course. Whatever happens to us in this life is never a reason to abandon the faith, because what awaits us in eternal life to come is far much more than the difficulties of life we might have today. Determination and courage are needed to continue on our journey of faith, even when unexpected things happen. When Moses died, it must have been hard for the people. There must have been doubt and confusion about what to do. There must have been indecision and even fear, because God told Joshua to be strong and of good courage. If Joshua and Israel were already strong and of good courage, there would have been no reason for God to give this message to Joshua. God had to make it clear to Joshua that he expected him to continue the work of Moses to get Israel into the promised land. Joshua 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What is expected of us may not always seem easy. It can be hard for a person to step into a leadership role when they were previously a servant to the leader. Joshua was like an assistant to Moses who was given more and more responsibility. Sometimes those in leadership roles do not understand they are in leadership roles, and the people can suffer. I think of recent criminal cases stemming from special education classrooms in my hometown area of El Paso, where a special education teacher and the classroom aide were arrested because of alleged physical injury to a child by the classroom aide, and that happened at least twice in two different schools. In a school district, the superintendent is the leader of the district and the principal is the leader of the school. The teacher needs to be the leader of the classroom, especially when classroom aides are present. Sometimes the classroom aides think they are equal to the teacher in areas of authority and responsibility, and frequently, teachers who have classroom aides do not see themselves as the classroom leader. Allegedly, in El Paso, the teachers were aware of what was happening in the classroom by the classroom aide and took no action to prevent or report it, so they were also charged. I don't think teachers are taught they are the classroom leader, and I don't think special education teachers who manage classroom aides are given much training in how to manage classroom aides. I'm astounded that any teacher or any adult would allow any adult to bring harm to a child. When nobody sees themselves as responsible and in charge, bad things can happen, and I believe because the teacher did not see themselves as in charge of that classroom, they didn't act when they should have. Local teacher employee organizations tell me they find themselves focused on the special education classroom, and I think what is missing is that piece on being the classroom leader. Within education, that concept is instructional leadership, but I've never seen instructional leadership drilled down to the classroom level. As a result, many teachers, including special education teachers, feel completely overwhelmed and very vulnerable. In their mind, they are just waiting for something big and bad to drop in their life that costs them their career. And anyone who works in that type of environment is working with a heavy burden. Jesus Christ spoke of giving rest to all who labor, who carry heavy burdens, explaining that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus did not say his way was without a yoke and without burdens of any type. An easy yoke and a light burden means there is still a yoke and a burden. The yoke and burden have not gone away, but the intensity of the yoke and burden has changed to something that is better. We should not think that as Christians we will live without the troubles, challenges, and difficulties of life. We will continue to have those, as will all people. What changes for us is our spiritual focus. We are given a calling that has us focused on seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. The troubles, challenges, and difficulties of life we face now should help us value eternal life and the kingdom of God to come. When things are bad, we should hope. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Paul explained to the Corinthians that even though he had a thorn in the flesh, he saw his thorn in the flesh as something that made him spiritually stronger, even while recognizing that thorn in the flesh is something that Satan could use to get under his skin. Even though Paul asked God to remove that thorn in the flesh 3 times, God left the thorn in the flesh in place, telling Paul that God's grace would be sufficient for him. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. We do not know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. Maybe in the resurrection, Paul will let us know. What we know is that for Paul, even though he had this thorn in the flesh, God's grace was enough. And through God's grace, Paul was made strong through weakness. It should not come as a surprise to us if we suffer somehow physically in this life. What we cannot do is use that suffering, whatever suffering it may be, to leave God and abandon Jesus Christ. When we go through the troubles, challenges, and difficulties of life and remain faithful, we will reign with Jesus Christ. If we leave God and abandon Jesus Christ because of the troubles, challenges, and difficulties of life, we will be abandoned. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Troubles, challenges, and difficulty in life are something we should expect, because God uses these to help us spiritually grow. Not everyone will have the same type of troubles, challenges, and difficulties, nor will we have them to the same degree. But we will all have troubles, challenges, and difficulties in life. Just like some people have a higher pain tolerance than others, some will have a higher tolerance when facing troubles, challenges, and difficulties in life. With some people, when the smallest thing goes bad, we all know about it, and with others, even when the most severe thing happens, we never seem to know about it. Just because somebody doesn't seem to have any troubles, challenges, and difficulties in life doesn't mean that is the case. When troubles, challenges, and difficulties of life do happen in our life, it is best to focus on the peaceable fruit of righteousness that will result. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, and have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. In facing troubles, challenges, and difficulties of life, we can take comfort knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. We could choose to leave God and abandon Jesus Christ, and we know if we choose that, what will happen to us, because we all have free will. If our free will keeps us loyal to God and Jesus Christ as we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, just like God's grace was sufficient for Paul's thorn in the flesh, so will God's grace be sufficient for us. Nothing, absolutely nothing, will separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the book of Revelation, various letters are written to the seven churches. The church in Philadelphia is commended for patience, and shows how patience will keep this church from the hour of temptation that comes upon the entire world. Revelation 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them which dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven for my God, and I will write upon him my new name. The patience to endure to the end, to live a life with a thorn in the flesh, to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, even when life may not always be fun, is the patience we need to be part of the new heaven and new earth and to live with the new Jerusalem. The troubles, challenges, and difficulties of this life will be no more, and there will be no more death, sorrow, crying, or pain. We endure to the end. We overcome. We seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and we will be there when there is the new heaven and new earth with New Jerusalem as its capital. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. When we seek God's righteousness, that means more than just having a fantasy about being righteous. For example, many people might think about winning the lottery, and if all we do is think about winning the lottery, that is like a fantasy, because while we think about it, we don't do anything to win the lottery. To win a big lottery, we do need luck, a tremendous amount of luck, so much luck that we are more likely to be struck by lightning than to win a lottery. We also need a ticket, and either that ticket is gifted to us or we buy the ticket. Seeking God's righteousness is more than just having a fantasy about being righteous. We know Jesus Christ died so that all who believe can have eternal life. But that belief is more than a fantasy. That belief comes with action of doing truth and coming to the light. In other words, seeking the kingdom of God and God's righteousness means we do those things that are truth that bring us to the light. We do not have a fantasy about being righteous. We act with righteousness. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Doing truth and coming to the light also means we do righteousness and not sin. Even though forgiveness of sin comes through Jesus Christ, we do not live a life of sin. Repentance requires a change in our life, a change from a life of sin to a life of righteousness as we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Romans 6, verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to remember that as we seek eternal life to come, not everyone who calls themselves a Christian will be part of the kingdom of God that we seek. It is those who do the will of God our Father who will be part of the kingdom of God. And broadly speaking, God's will for us is that we do what is righteous. That's why Jesus said we need to first seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. If we want eternal life, we will do those things which will lead to eternal life. If all we do is seek to live our human life on this planet, then that is the most we can expect. If we seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness by doing those things that are righteous, then we will be given eternal life. Because we have this opportunity before us, we do not become bored with faith. Faith is who we are, and faith requires us to do what is righteous. And as we have opportunity to do good to all people, especially to those of the household of faith. Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. From Hebrews 13, verse 8, we know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change, and righteousness is eternal. Unlike societal ideals which change with generations, God's righteousness remains the same. What was evil long ago, or what will be evil in the future, is evil today. And similarly, what was righteous long ago, or what will be righteous in the future, is righteous today. When Jesus spoke of his return and separating the evil and righteous based on how they cared for those with needs, only a person who denies that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever would deny any connection from what Jesus spoke of to our life today. We obviously can only help people in need as we have the opportunity to help. But we should not consider the words of Jesus as a future requirement that has no bearing on us today. And if we want eternal life, what we do becomes clear. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. We have been given a calling where we have been blessed with mercy. God has been kind to us at this time, and we continue to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, knowing we will endure to the end. Having been given a precious gift, we do not corrupt the word of God through dishonesty, deceit, or lies. We see the word of God through the lens of truth and use what we have been given, not for personal gain, but so that more will come to the knowledge of the truth. We do not take what we have been given and bury it in the sand, as if that will be pleasing to God, because if we hide the truth, those who are lost will never find it. Satan has been busy spiritually blinding people so they won't believe the truth, because Satan knows once somebody understands the truth, they will want to walk in the light. God has already shined that light into our hearts. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have had this light shining in our hearts while we live life as humans subject to death and all the troubles, challenges, and difficulties that comes with life. Some of what makes human life hard for us is that we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness when humanity seeks what is good for the here and now. Some of what makes human life hard for us is the human experience. We have jobs and homes, bills to pay, and mouths to feed. When others solely focus on the here and now, we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Each of us knows our human life is limited by death, and beyond that is the hope of eternal life. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Within the Church of God, though we might be in different congregations of faith, we worship the same God and are saved by the death and resurrection of the same Jesus Christ. Just as God raised Jesus from the dead, we can take comfort knowing that God will also resurrect us at the return of Jesus. We might look in the mirror, and as days turn into weeks, weeks into months, and months into years, we might notice the face staring back at us is looking older. As we do what we need to do in our life, we might notice it takes longer to do things, or that we might tire more easily. When others are concerned by the aging process, we know we are spiritually maturing, and we focus on those things which are spiritual, knowing this leads to eternal life. Verse 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. the life we have today, whether it is incredibly good, incredibly bad, or anywhere in between, does not compare to eternal life to come. God has a way of using our life today to help us spiritually mature so that when Jesus Christ returns, we will have eternal life. For now, we must be seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, knowing that even the very best of human life today falls so short of the glory that we will have in eternity. Our life today, even if it is an incredible life, will come up short when compared to our life to come, eternal life in the kingdom of God. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.